Are you still farming now, or you gave it up? Are you running any herds or anything?
I've got cattle.
Oh, you do. So, but you don't farm as much as you did before.
Our main income off the place now is wood and timber.
Oh, yes.
And then we have a sideline of fence posts, cedar fence posts.
Now, did you go on from high school, or did you, after high school, go right into the farm?
My father was, I got through high school in 34. My father was taken sick in 32, and he was never able to work again. And I went to work on the farm when I got out of high school.
So you spent most of your life then as a farmer.
Oh, yeah.
How do you relate to some of the news of farms from where I come from, out in the Midwest, all this news now?
Well, I've seen quite a bit of Midwest farming. Of course, it was in Minnesota, but I liked it. Mm-hmm. It was about the same as we farmed here 40 years ago. They had a better machinery. But the thing that I liked about it was that they were diversified. Not everything was based on milk.
Yeah. Yeah, went into a lot of soybeans, of course, we always
had. No, they were in cash grain, cash corn.
On cash corn.
Yeah, cash corn and beef. Mm-hmm. Their corn was cheap enough out there so that they could fat beef.
Well, corn was not a possibility here, was it?
Oh, yes.
Well, you did
corn,
raise corn.
Corn is a big thing around here.
Uh-huh. So that you raised corn as well as cattle and...
Where?
Here.
Oh, we had land enough so that we milked. Well, right at about the beginning, end of the war, when some machinery became available, we raised two-thirds of a grain.
Oh.
And believe me, that was profitable. The thing is that the way farming is constituted, dairy farming is constituted today, that you're operating about the way the railroads used to, on a managed debt. And we don't like that.
When you look back at growing up in this area, would you say that you enjoyed growing up here? You had a good time growing up here?
I guess so. It's as good a place as any. Mm-hmm. And better than some. I would think so. Growing up, I had a very good family life. Mother and father were devoted to each other, and my sister went to Mount Holyoke.
Mm-hmm. Were you married? Did you get married?
Yeah.
Children?
I have two children.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when did you get married?
Me?
Yeah.
1947.
Oh, yeah. So you have two grown.
Yeah. And, anyway, I quit milking cows in 69.
And went into timber? And
no. There wasn't any outlook in timber then. Well, I thought I was going to have to sell the place, but no. I didn't. I got a good job.
Who'd you work with?
I worked for Tenney.
For whom?
Tenney.
Kenny.
Del Tenney.
Oh, Del Tenney. Oh, yeah.
Worst thing I ever did, though. I probably didn't get in over 2 or 5 years there. And the rest of it was just enough to raise the devil with what I could do here. But anyway, I kind of cast around, and I got into logging. And it's been good.
Good. Very good. How much participation have you had in town activities, town hall?
Very little. I'm the dog warden, and that's about it.
You're presently the dog warden? What are some of the things you remember that might be of interest to historian? In your growing up period here, does anything come to your mind in terms of any incidents or?
Well, you know, it's not hard to pick out, but just give you an answer to that. Because, my God, if I start, I can't tell them to you unless I tell them to you in sequence. My God, it would take forever. I can't pick them out individually. You know what I mean? On the night.
Try going through a little of it anyhow.
We used to fight with the milk inspectors. And then hired help because I was a man. I tell you, the worst day I ever saw in my life was on a Christmas day in 1932. My father sold a cow and a calf for $10.
Couldn't feed
them. Well, you see the thing with the milk company had, and the cow had been, she wasn't condemned, but she was declared to be mastitis.
Uh-huh.
And we brought her down here where the heifers were, and we had a calf on her. And see what the milk companies used to do? They used to tell the Jews wherever there was a diagram cow. And they said they gave until the 25th of December to sell her, else they go to the milk market. And they were quick to take advantage of it, and he had to sell her. And that was the worst deal I ever saw.
That same thing was happening in Mason, Iowa, with the Chicago Stockyards.
Yeah.
You know, the same
and,
thing.
I've seen other cows so cheap, and, I got even with the Jews later on. There's some Jews I like. They're good people.
The Jews were in charge of the...
They were cattle traders.
Oh, they were the cattle traders?
Yeah. Well, anyway, in 1945, we had a bull that weighed a ton. He got real mean, and my neighbor stopped in that morning. We were doing chores, and he looked at the bull, and he said, don't let that bull go for less than $500. I hadn't had a chance to see my mother. She was alive then. And the Jew came for her a little after, well, about 1 o'clock. We hadn't eaten any dinner or anything. And we had a lot of help there, and we loaded the bowl, and he says to my mother, Mrs. Cooper, how much for the bowl? And she says, well, whatever you think. What do you say? He says, how about 150? She says, is that all right with you? And I said, absolutely not. And I said, well, I said, John, you know what the bull's worth, and I do too. And there's no use of back and water. If you think that's what the bull's worth, I'm moving. And they help all scream, they're going to help. But I said, I don't care. I said, Leo Captain will be over Monday morning and get that bull, and he won't make any bones about it. And so we had a discussion for about 5 minutes. And he left with a bull, but he left $490.
Who were the companies that were involved in buying this?
There were no companies.
Oh, there were no companies?
No, it was all individuals.
Oh.
Oh, it was the greatest cutthroat game you ever saw in your life. And there were at one time the time of the TB test in about 27, my father lost 23. And they'd send these companies around, and they had a Jewish buyer at Old Bay School Jew, something terrible. And you see, they condemned cows. The market for cows was unlimited. My father could only buy 10 cows for what he got. For 27, they weren't as good ones as that as he lost. And he got $1,035 from the state. And then there was a salvage on him. And then there was some kind of a differential. He got about, he didn't get $2,000 on it. Nothing like it. And cows, mediocre cows, were selling for $300
then. When the war came along, the Civil War, did that help you any?
The first signs of any change came in 44. The help all left in 42. We couldn't hire any help. Things didn't go up much. But 44, things began to loosen up a little. 45 was a big difference. 46, 47, 48 were good years. It slacked off, milk prices slacked off a little in 49, but they came right back in 50, and then we had three, four really good years. And the Korean War was on.
What changes are you aware of in what has taken place in this community from the time, let's say, you were a young man?
The makeup of the population is entirely different.
How is that? In which way? National background, you mean?
No. It's a little hard to say. It's mainly that there's almost no people in the same endeavors that we're in.
You mean people today don't work as hard as...
They're different. There's many, many, many professional people around, and they don't give a damn about us, and we don't about them.
There certainly are less farmers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Many less farmers.
But in my memory, of the town of Salisbury, I can say that fully a third of the people in the town of Salisbury were either farmers or closely associated with them. And you don't have a lot of the tradesmen that there used to be. You used to have blacksmiths and people that you really knew trusted.
And you would say that today that trust is gone?
Well, I wouldn't say the trust is gone, but they live in a different world than we do.
Can you pinpoint that?
I don't think so. There's quite a lot of good Republicans amongst them. I'll say that.
How about good Democrats?
God, there isn't such a thing.
But even the good Republicans then today you see as professional people rather than as the farmers or blacksmiths or so on that were here at that time, yeah.
We used to have a lot of good fire machinery repair. There's nothing there. Yeah, you can't hire got to break you to hire them.
Well, isn't that a little bit kind of what goes on every place that you buy a piece of equipment, it breaks down, there's no point in fixing it, you have to buy a new one.
Oh, no, we specialize in buying broken down equipment.
And then repairing it yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you have that skill, that's good, yeah.
And we do it for other people, too.
Oh, do you? Household appliances and things like that, or just are you talking about machinery?
Farm machinery mostly.
Farm machinery.
Yeah. We do a lot of mobile work. of her own.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And not much, but some. And my own main sport is plumbing and wiring.
And that's what you're doing now?
No, but I have done an awful lot of it.
Oh, I see. But coming back to this theme of, you know, how is life different here than it was then? So you're saying that, one, the nature of the people,
makeup of the population.
How about the makeup of national backgrounds? Is it?
I don't think it is anywhere near as pronounced.
What do you mean that? I'm not talking about differences in feeling, but difference in makeup.
Well, what I mean to say is that we no longer have very many immigrants around here. When I went to school in Lime Rock, I'd say that in the early days, that at least a quarter of the kids lost the boat within the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And some of them couldn't speak any English, a lot of them.
Now, what brought them here? The ore company?
The iron company. Their fathers were mostly good molders.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They came right over from Europe?
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. They came with their, brought their skills with them.
Uh-huh. What happened to those people?
The main body of them went to the Naugatuck Valley. Seymour, Ansonia, Derby, Shelton. I think they all prospered pretty well. I got along good with those people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are there any of those people still around that went to school with you? Or?
Very, very few.
Very few, yeah.
Very few. We had a class reunion here last year ago, September, and there were 35 people in my class, and 8 of us showed up.
Which school, which one of the schools?
Salisbury.
The Salisbury High School. Eight came.
And, well, of course, when I went to school, their background was different than mine. But we knew each other well enough so that it didn't matter too much.
Let's see, is there anything that occurs to you that I haven't asked or
about
something
what?
Something that should go down in the history of the town that we haven't talked about?
Well, there's an awful lot to happen, of course.
Yeah.
I think the big thing around here, the big change, is the road.
The road? Which road?
This road.
From
the time I was growing up.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
We had a dirt road here until 1937. And in the spring of the year, it buried a little bit, usually in March. You couldn't negotiate this road without horses. You'd get stuck in the mud with the cars, you know, and...
Even a Model T couldn't make it, huh?
That's right. Yeah. And that made a big difference, that we got an all-weather road. During the war years, in the wintertime, they didn't plow this road. And we had, let's see, in the winter of 44 and 45, we had 10 feet of snow across the road here between the two places.
So you couldn't get out then?
Well, see, we lived up at the upper place then. And to get here, we had cattle out here, and I had to take care of them. We'd have to go around by Falls Road, come in down here. And the select man solved the problem of the roads by getting on the train going to Florida.
Well, Well, that's a good solution. Yeah. Leaves you in the snow.
He was one of the best select men that money could buy.
Who's that?
Abe Martin.
Whom?
Abe Martin.
Martin? Abe Martin. This would be before my time. I don't remember.
Yeah.
You're saying he did a lot of good, or?
Well, I said that he's the best select man that money could buy.
Oh, I missed that. I got it this time. Right. That's interesting. So the road made that much of a...
Made a lot of difference.
Sure.
It made a lot of difference in communication. We used to have to truck our milk to Canaan. Well, we used to truck our milk to Lamarck Station. And then...
Where was the line? That's a railroad station you're talking about.
No, no. Oh. They had a Cleve Borden's had a creamery there.
Where was that?
Well, it's right in the vicinity of where the Fales and the McLeans live now. Do you know them?
No.
Well, you know where the crossing is at Lamarck Station, railroad crossing.
Where the railroad crossing? You not know?
This area.
It's still there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. The one when you take that road from
Lusitania.
Yeah, right. Oh, yes.
The creamery used to be right down below the crossing.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to take our milk down there, and that closed in 1935. And from 1935 until 52, we had to truck our milk to Canaan. And that was quite a hardship during the war, because we're short of help and...
Short of gas, too.
Well, we had
plenty of gas. Oh, you had plenty of gas.
In 1952, we began selling our milk here in Connecticut. And it was, for a while, it was a little better. But they soon petered out. They didn't go broke, but their price went down. The one thing I can't get through here is that we're supposed to live in a country where supply and demand set the price. Mm-hmm. It's a good system. I don't object to it at all, but it doesn't seem to work anymore.
Well, we're not really living in a supply and demand economy, are we?
Oh, yes.
Well, let's
see. It only works in certain ways.
Uh-huh.
But now, present. I thought stopped in to see me a couple of days ago. He said he's down with Luther's in Marseille. And good cows were breeding 18 cents. And Luther said that he had predicted the price would drop to 20 cents. Now he's predicting the price will drop to 10. All right. If they got the beef for nothing, beef would be cheap. Because you're processing labor on beef. First National Store is paying a meat cutter $18 an hour. Any meat he cuts is going to be goddamn dear, I'll tell you that. But I can see some hope for the country. This big bust-up here a day or two ago, McLean Trucking, North Carolina Trucking, all gone broke. You know why? You know what killed them? Deregulation.
Deregulation?
Yes, sir.
In other words, you think they should be regulated?
No, I think everything should be unregulated.
Unregulated.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean they were regulated.
You see, what was happening was they were hiring these union truck drivers to drive their trucks, say, from Hendersonville, North Carolina, to Boston. They were express truckers. They had, hell, if they had a 30-ton truck, they had 2-3 tons of express on it, they were making money. Now what's happening is, this has been deregulated, the express is out for the guy who'll do it the cheapest. All right, Now what's happening is, some of these trucking companies have still got some express, but they've got a hell of a, they're not getting the price for it now. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to load the trucks. And what they're doing, they're offering prices to shippers so that they can load their trucks, and whatever money they get is clean money, see? That they wouldn't have gotten otherwise, and they need them damn bad now.
Yeah.
It's getting rid of a lot of these union truck drivers. And that's one thing. The airlines, look at the price of air passage today compared to what it was. Huh?
Yeah, terrible.
I mean, it's cheaper.
Well, yeah, cheaper in some areas, depends where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Across the country, it certainly is cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there, yeah. Of course, I guess there are less flights, less people traveling, too.
Well, I presume so, but this is tending to bring out more. The prices of flying is being a little cheaper will probably be some encouragement for people to travel.
What about life up here? Is around this area? What about like food prices and so on? Do you consider
they're
those? They're pretty high, aren't they?
Yeah.
Taking a look at Lime Rock, you mentioned the railroad crossing there. What other kind of businesses were there in Lime Rock? What has disappeared that was there, as you remember it?
Of course, the iron industry. That's all.
Yeah, the iron industry, and then the post office. I know.
Well, the store and post office.
The which?
The store and post office are gone.
And there was a general store.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Philo Lyons.
Philo
Lyons.
Lance.
Lyons.
Oh, Lyons.
Philo Lyons. And he was a good storekeeper. But that was a... Not going out wasn't a question of times, it was a question of attrition.
What you know, what brought that on?
Well, the people got old and they didn't want to do it anymore. Philo died. And his daughter and son-in-law ran it for a while.